Great morning.
The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Good morning. My name is Robin Donaldson, the owner of Renew Construction Services, and today I am your host of the International Mastermind Association, where today we're discussing the classic, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, discussing the 12th step toward riches, which is the brain. However, before we dive into this awesome show, I would like to introduce my co-host. We have none other than Ann McNeil, the Master Builder. She is the founder of the International Mastermind Association, owner of Constructively Speaking and MCO Construction. Also, we have Thomasina, owner of Sankofa Legacy Advisors.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thomasina. If you can help us in our journey by recapping the first 11 chapters.
Certainly. Thank you very much, Robin. Good morning to our special guest, the renowned artist, Mr. C.J. Latimer, and to you and Anne, my other co-host, and good morning to all of our listeners. Good morning, CJ. I am beyond excited that we have as our special guest this morning Mr. CJ Latimer, whose artwork I know from being a resident of Miami for years and seeing it plastered all over everything from public buildings to private businesses, conveying messages of pride in who community leaders are, who our Black leaders are, and just very inspiring and inspirational. So I'm excited to have CJ share with us this morning how he uses the 12th step and the 13th step formula, the brain, as a receiving and broadcasting station to transform thought into very creative and inspiring visual art pieces. Before we get into talking about that and CJ's work, we wanted to just give our listening audience a little bit of context. As Robin said, we're talking about the 12th step of Napoleon Hill's 13th step this morning, and that is the brain, which is the broadcasting and receiving station for thought. The first 11 steps, we just wanted to remind you, number one is desire. Napoleon Hill says that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling reason for doing what it is we do. Step two is faith, having belief in our ability to attain that which we desire. Step three is what he calls auto-suggestion. Auto-suggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our minds will receive everything automatically, but we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things what we are feeding ourselves, because that positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number 4 is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people. I think we're going to hear a little bit about a piece of specialized knowledge known as neuro-linguistic programming that our guest, Mr. C.J. Latimer, uses in his work. Imagination, the workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts, the burning desire to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to look at step 6, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought, we go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number 7 is decision, which Napoleon Hill says is the mastery of procrastination. And I know personally I suffer from this from time to time. I think we all do. Napoleon Hill says that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step 8 is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books, I love even the title, 3 Feet from Gold, that those people who became rich during the gold rush in the Wild Wild West days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter, had better information than anybody else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number 8. Step number 9, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody had somebody who helped them to get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us, use the thought, use the knowledge, use the inspiration of other people to help us in achieving our goals. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical. But what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires. That if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spent quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of sex, of step 10, which is sex transmutation. 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting link between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spent some time talking about how we use that through the influence of auto-suggestion and what we're feeding into our minds. Today, again, we're talking about step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought. And again, I'm so excited and pleased to have renowned artist C.J. Latimer as our guest to share with us how he used the Napoleon Hill success formula, and in particular, the brain as a broadcasting and receiving station. So welcome, C.J.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here, and it's great to just, you know, tell people a story without words. So pretty much that what my artwork does at this time.
Powerful.
And indeed, a story it is. Again, thank you, CJ. This is Robin. And I was super, super excited when I read your bio. I was really excited to just ask so many questions. But first, I would like to start by, how did you get your start? And your first piece is called The Legacy Piece. And I think that's where everything started for you. And if you could just tell the listening audience how you got started down there in South Dade.
Well, you know, the first thing that happened in most artists' lives is that they have a desire to create. And for me, it was just a whole journey in my life from the time I was 4 years old. My mother would say, you know, you're going to be an artist or an architect. And from that point, you know, she was programming me, constantly saying this, constantly telling all of her friends. So that in itself allowed me to really take art as a serious venture in my life. So I went to school, studied art through the University of Miami, where I got my fine arts degree. And from there, I said I need to ask more questions about why is it art being either sold or for so much money, and how can you become successful with it? Because at that time, I was broke, busted, and disgusted. So I said to myself, like, you know, it's got to be a little bit of a better solution or some strategy that you can deal with in your career, so that way you can emerge to a higher level of being able to, you know, tell your story without words, so to speak. So I traveled overseas. I went to Barcelona and studied there at the Miró Foundation Museum, and that was like really a great experience, and it gave me the ability to, you know, see cultural icons throughout Europe. And when I said, wow, look at this, I'm like, you know, you go to different libraries, you go to different places throughout the city, and you see these nice, unique portraits and statues that were actually telling historical messages throughout that whole landscape. So I said, you know, there's something going on here. And then from there, I went to Mexico, and I studied there for a bit in terms of Tamayo Museum, because I wanted to see how the murals were created by Diego and other artists that were making very political, social commentaries, statements in their artwork. So for me, one of the first things that I thought about is that, you know what, your art has to have a purpose. It shouldn't be something aesthetically, visually pleasing that, you know, you put over carpet and curtains and hope for the best that somebody's going to buy it to match their carpets and curtains. I said, your artwork should have a purpose. So from that point, I really started developing three words that would be with me for the rest of my life. It was called create, motivate, mm-hmm. and educate. And from those three words, it was like a compass in my journey. Because when you have something, when you look at the whole idea of the subconscious mind and it's like being a sending station, you have to make sure that you let your conscious mind know it, and very repetition, what are you about? What is it about? So when I would say to myself throughout the day, create, motivate, and educate, and all of my artwork goes into that particular category, because that kept me on point rather than just saying, oh, this is pretty, this is good. No, it was create, motivate, and educate. And so my background is just, you know, having a degree in computer science that allowed me to have the technological skills of really digging deeper and doing unique aspects with fine arts as well as technology art as well.
Awesome, awesome. There's a particular project, the Northwestern School. Can you please describe what influenced that artwork? And what is it you aim for it to say?
Well, like you said, and that's a great question that you're asking, what inspired me for that Northwestern School. First of all, there were a lot of things going on in the late 90s. You know, you had the different riots. You had different kinds of things going on in South Florida. So I said, why not have something permanent to be put on the front of a school that dictated some type of uniqueness in where it was a curriculum that was inside the school? I said, so take the curriculum that's going on with the children inside the school and put it on the outside of the school. So when you would drive by, that message would just really just be out there in the community to say, shop ROTC. So what that would do, that would promote a community person to say, let me find out some more information. So it was acting almost like a unique billboard in a very artistic way. And so from that point on, I got the children, the kids involved where they watched me from an educational point of view of actually going out there using mosaic tiles. This was the first time ever that the same little bathroom tiles you use with the little 1-inch tiles you put in your bathroom, 125,000 pieces of tiles was put on that 125 feet by 9 feet wall until this day from 1999 up to the present, that mosaic has never been graffitied, never been marked. So it, to me, it's like each one reach when each one teach someone. And to me, having that mural to teach people throughout the entire time over those years was, to me, art with a purpose. And that's what I believe. Art should be a purpose. It should commemorate public places. It should evoke precious memories and future possibilities.
Oh, wow. That's just awesome. Awesome, awesome. There is, speaking with you earlier, there was something that you said that really resonated with me. You said, speak what you want and act as if it's so. Can you
explain? Yeah, that statement is a very powerful statement.
Yes, very powerful.
So when I said that statement over the years, and people say, what do you mean by that? Because most people speak what they have rather than what they want. So what you're doing is you're going back to that whole subconscious mind and programming it. Because, see, the subconscious mind doesn't know a lie or the truth. It's just there. So if you continue to have something to say, speak what you want, act as if it's so, make it a reality. Because there were times I was, like I said, broke, busted, and disgusted. And I'm walking around speaking what I want and acting as if it's so. And from that point on, the time brought that into fruition. And the next thing I know, I was doing contracts after contracts. Because speak what you want and act as if it's so is a very powerful message that you want to continue to say throughout your life, because needless to say, most people would say things like, oh, if it's not one thing, it's another. Oh, my God, you know, I keep meeting the wrong people. You're programming your subconscious mind to continue to meet the wrong people. So, again,
right,
having that creative imagination to send out the messages based on what your subconscious mind is providing you is in alignment to continue to be very creative throughout my career point in time.
Awesome, awesome. CJ, let's take we're going to pause for a commercial break. And when we return, we're going to have Thomasina. She wants to talk about or discuss this portrait that you have been commissioned for the First Lady Michelle Obama. So when we return.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219.
Okay.
The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And we are back. Today our guest is the renowned artist CJ Lattimore, whose public visual mixed media installation includes a commissioned portrait of the First Lady for Michelle Obama. But before we get into that, we do have a question. We have a caller. Caller?
Hello, and you know that I'm absolutely excited about hearing this presentation today. Hello, Mr. Lattimore.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm great, and to hear what you're doing is so motivating for me, because I'm actually headed to a presentation to help people educate as they decorate with a legacy wall, and you know you're my inspiration. You know you're my inspiration.
So oh, that's great.
So
what type of wall is
it
that you're doing?
It's a commemorative wall of the school itself, the history of the school, the namesake, some of the people that have come through there, educating people about the wonderful things that have happened as a result of the school. And I have one where at Booker T. Washington, I did a wall where we commemorated Booker T. Washington, then the teachers that have come through there and some of the legends that have come through there as well. There are schools named after those little people that came through there in 30, 40 years ago. And I'm just thrilled that I have you to look to, and it's what I want to be when I grow up.
Well, thank you. That's a wonderful compliment. And again, you are definitely creating a wonderful type of experiences for those students, because they will see that every day. And that's what I find and what I do is being able to have that whole knowledge. They say knowledge is only potential power if not put into action with a plan toward a directed goal. It's only potential. So we're bringing that into fruition as we speak, by making sure that the school that you're doing, that they can go back into history and see how important it is for generations to come to understand what you're doing. Good for you.
And one of the things I also like, and then I'll shut up, but what I love is also putting people on that wall that they know and can touch today, because it makes it real for them. And I saw two little girls slide up against that wall because they knew the person at that wall, and they could go and hug her and say, "Oh, I know you're here," and let them realize that they can be what these people grew up to be. Because I have the little person picture of the legacy person and their adult picture, so they know that you're in this school today as an elementary school person. But you're going to grow up and you can do the same thing too.
That's beautiful. And I wish you nothing but continued success, because, you know, doing it for over 30-something years right now, if you can do it that long and be consistent with it, you must be doing something right, as have I done. So good for you that you're carrying the legacy on your part, so that way you can continue that whole movement that I think that would be very, very well documented and be an educational tool for those students as well.
Thank you.
And thank you, Ursula. Ms. Thomasina.
Yes, yes. Again, thank you so much, CJ, for joining us on this morning's show. This, I'm just really full listening to you, because I think that you have talked about the influences on you and how you basically view the world and how you move in the world really is a great example of each of the 13 steps of Napoleon Hill's success formula in action, actually being played out. You talked about having the desire to create, which is where it all starts, according to Napoleon Hill, with that burning desire. And hearing that your mom, from the age of 4, was really programming you, which is what autosuggestion is, by encouraging you, by telling you that you were an artist and architect, and therefore encouraging you to bring that out, and then you using your imagination. The thing that I love, too, is how you have chosen to share your art with the world. I love that you do so much with public buildings, with schools, and you also shared with us earlier, before the show started, about the important role that libraries have played establishing yourself and building your career. Can you just share with a little bit about how it is that libraries came to be so important to you?
Well, libraries really is taking on a whole new wave right now. Some of the best libraries are being built in New York and areas where the kids are coming in and being able to really, you know, not just play around, but just have a social gathering and learn. And what I found at the time in the early days is that most of African-American artists were not being shown in galleries. So the library system of Miami-Dade County Library System were the first to come on board and say, hey, we have emerging artists. I was in my 20s at the time, and my thing was, who would ever see your artwork? So we had to have themes. And, I mean, those themes that we would put together in the shows would just be one that would be reflective of what the community was going through at the time. And we had a unique way of making sure that when people would come to the show, it just gave you the encouragement to know that there was a better future for you, just to the mere fact that someone would come in and even buy, they even had artwork for sale. So, I mean, over the years of, I think maybe 5 or 6 years of just showing, it encouraged you to really continue to deal with your dream and your path. But sometimes if someone is not going to prompt you, motivate you, or encourage you, you fall to the wayside. So, again, for me, knowing that that knowledge was something that I received of just having people to come on board, buy some artwork, and having library systems to really support you as an artist, it was one of the best tools that I know to showcase your work. And listen, I think right now, if I didn't have that experience or that encouragement, I don't know what my career would have been like from that point.
Powerful. And there is a library that you're working with currently. As Robin mentioned, you have been commissioned to paint a portrait of First Lady Michelle Obama for the Michelle Obama Neighborhood Library in Long Beach, California. Can you tell us a little bit about how that came about? And I think you're still in the progress of creating that, correct?
Yeah, I'm still in the very early stages of that because a friend of mine who is a councilman, and I've known him over the years, and just my whole experience of being in Long Beach for 18-something years or so, it's where I had the ability of just knowing that something like that was needed, because after the library was built 2 years ago, there was no type of, I would say, a commemorative art piece in there. So from that point, you know, I people started saying, well, Lattimore, this is what you do. You are the guy that they have a focus and art with a purpose and creating these commemorative pieces that you've been doing in South Florida as well. So we're at this stage right now of looking at the best possible way of being able to have that story being told. Because for me, art for art's sake is one thing, but having a story to be told without words is a whole different walk in the park. Because I feel, again, that the quality of your questions that you ask in life will dictate the quality of your lifestyle. So at a very early age, I said to myself, what other type of artwork can I do that I would not have to be in a position to wait to see if somebody would want to buy something from me? So I started asking these questions. And so, again, the quality of your questions dictates the quality of your lifestyle. So that in itself is allowing me to move through the different communities throughout the country and just asking the right questions. Because I asked the question, like, why is there not a piece in this library that is not very unique and prominent of the fact of what Michelle Obama is about? She's the first, well, the ex-first lady, but my point is she's a prestigious lady. Look at what's going on with her now in the community across the world. So why not have something in alignment to showcase her precious memories and future possibilities of what she's still doing today?
Amen, amen. Very well said. You know, the other thing I love, in addition to your focus on libraries, is on schools. And one of my favorite pieces, and I'm sure, I don't remember when you painted this, but you did a very large, it was the entire width of the face of the building of Black history figures for the Mizell Kitty campus on 95th Street. In Miami. And Mrs. Mizell, I don't know that you know, she passed away very recently, but that was part of the tribute that was mentioned at her funeral service even, is how she was so focused on empowering children and helping them to develop into their full selves, to the point of actually having you to commission to actually paint a mural on the face of the building so that those young children coming in as young as preschoolers could see Black history figures and know what the possibilities were, what the potential was for them. I think it's just so incredibly powerful. I know that you also have as your stated mission, you call it the art of your legacy. Can you share with
That's
us
correct.
A little bit about how that mission came to be and your focus on legacy? Because legacy is something that's near and dear to my heart as well, as I'm sure a number of our listeners.
Well, the art of your legacy is something that I started many years ago in the sense of what of your legacy? So many times we have pioneers and people go through life and we don't have an image of them. I remember many years ago I was watching Lionel Richie in one of the shows that was 60 Minutes, and they were talking about his past history. And he got to the very last point in that particular show, and he said, well, there's an image of your great-great-great-granddad. We can't find an image of him. And he said, you know, that's just so unfortunate because I would really love to know how my great-great-granddad looked. And from that point, watching that show many, many years ago, I said to myself, that's it. The art of your legacy, creating imagery of people that will showcase what is the landscape of your life, where are you standing, what are the images that reflect who you are and what you're about. So that being said, it gives you an entire life history of an individual who set out to conquer and achieve. And so in a single creation of that artwork, it chronicles the turning points of that person's individual life. It's highlighting those defining moments which created and equipped that person to do what they were doing and to go out and achieve the goals that they did. So when you hear the word the art of your legacy, I coined that just simply to say, what is the landscape of your life? And also telling words, telling stories without words. And that to me is a way of really making people feel recognized in a very unique way.
It absolutely is very inspirational. You know, it's so important that we as Black people in particular tell our own story. Because if we don't tell it, no one else will. Or if they do, it's not going to be accurate. The point that you got out of the interview with the celebrity of not having a photograph of his great-grandfather and then taking it upon yourself to really chronicle through portraits, telling stories without words of key figures throughout our history, again, is incredibly powerful. I want to remind our guests that our listening audience, rather, that we're listening to Mr. C.J. Latimer, who is a nationally renowned artist of all kinds of mixed medium. If you would like to ask Mr. Latimer a question or if you have a comment and would like to join in the conversation, please press the number 1 on your telephone. That will signal that you do have a question. It's like raising your hand. And we will open your phone line so that you can join the conversation. Right now, I think we might be due for another commercial break before we come back and hear more from Mr. C.J. Latimer about how he uses his brain as a broadcasting and receiving station for thought as part of the Napoleon Hill 13 Steps to Riches.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
And we are back live on today's edition of the International Mastermind Association's Think and Grow Rich with our special guest, Mr. C.J. Latimer, a renowned artist who does everything from huge public installations to portraits of individuals and leading figure communities. I'm going to...
Can I just say one thing before we move forward? Because sometimes in life you always have an origin of inspiration or someone to prompt you into greatness. I would be remiss to mention our dear, Ann McNeil, because before that whole journey with the Art of Your Legacy, I was approached. We would talk, Ann McNeil and myself, many years ago. I'm talking about maybe late 80s or so. Here's this young lady. I did a piece for her in one of the events that was an award piece, a commemorative piece. And here's a lady who took the time to stop and said, CJ, why not, instead of just doing artwork on canvas, you do artwork in a medium that's like unique buildings and monumental kinds of things. And, just by having someone in all of our lives that would just be able to be that reckoning force to just say, hey, stop and pay attention and be focused. Because you think that you're about doing things in your life and making things happen, but there's always someone that could prompt you into greatness. And I want to take the opportunity to publicly say, if Ann is on the phone listening, that she is a person that created that fork in the road. And that whole thing with Think and Grow Rich was, again, brought to my attention because way back in the early days of in the 70s, I used to have it on my phone where I would say knowledge is only potential power. It's not put into action, but the plan to water direct the goal. It was only potential. And that in itself, again, forced me into a situation of subconsciously thinking positive and then meeting someone. When you're ready, prompt you, and you have your subconscious thoughts already in a positive mode, it's easy for you to move forward from that point.
Absolutely. And, that is such a perfect segue. Because I was just going to turn the mic over to Ann.
Oh, thank you both. But I have to go back to the book because as I was listening to CJ, the first page of this chapter, and thank you, CJ, for that, but to God be the glory. But I have to read this. And on the first page of this chapter, in chapter 12 on the brain, a broadcasting and receiving station for thought, Napoleon Hill says this, under the right circumstances and in a fashion that may be likened to that employed by the radio broadcasting principle, every human brain is capable of, here we go, picking up thought impulses which originate in the brains of others. In the brain of
That's
others.
Beautiful.
And the
That's
example
beautiful.
That CJ just gave was an example of a broadcasting station and a receiving station, because as a contractor, I know construction. As an artist, he knows the artwork. But what happens when you mastermind with like minds and like spirits, you have what is called intentional congruence, where two things become one in terms of a vision, which speaks to the whole idea of creative imagination. Napoleon Hill goes on to say that creative imagination is the receiving set of the brain, which processes thoughts released by brains of others. It is the agency of communication between one's own conscious or reasoning mind and the four sources from which one may receive thought stimuli, such as infinite intelligence, your own subconscious mind, highly energized conscious minds of others, and the subconscious storehouse of another person. So I just really wanted to just chime in for a second to say this is a phenomenal show and an awesome example of what's possible when we use our own brain and connecting it with the brains of others in a format of a mastermind concept and what is possible as we share. So thank you both. This has just been a phenomenal show. And I will release the microphone and go back to our, I think we do have a caller
thank you,
with Anne. The question.
That was,
thank
that was
you.
Very well spoken.
Thank you.
I noticed that we have someone has their hand raised. The last four numbers is 9199.
Yes.
Good morning.
Taking the opportunity. Good morning. Can you all hear me?
Good morning.
Yes.
Okay, there we are. Great. Okay. It was beeping twice. So thanks for taking the opportunity to talk to us this morning. As you said, Anne is indeed a reckoning force because I am never up this early on a Saturday morning. But I am glad that I am, as this call has been amazing. I looked at your website, and one of the things that stood out to me was the image, but also the journey that is behind the artist that you're highlighting, looking at the picture of Oprah and Smokey Robinson. And in my healthy model, the H is to honor everyone's journey. So I'm curious how you get the artist to prioritize which aspects of their journey are important enough, or prioritized, rather, to put in your murals. Like, which ones, how do you capture that?
Well, that's a very good question. And what I would like to say to you, what happens a lot in many cases is that you, like Anne was saying, you have this broadcasting, this whole thing, and people would just go to my website or this organization all out, way out and wanted to do the piece on Oprah, and they wanted to present it to Oprah in such a way that for as a gift. So what better way to, I find, in most of my artworks are used as a gift and as an art piece. So it is a combination of how people will now understand when you say, how do you prioritize that? That came about just the idea of somebody saying, I thought that much of understanding what Oprah contributions are about, but I want to give her a gift, but just not like a glass bowl or a silver set, because she can buy that herself. But the same thing I've done with Oprah and Smokey Robinson, he said, Lattimore, I met him at the Hollywood Achievers event where they do the awards every year. And he said, Lattimore, I want you to do something special for me. I mean, that's great that they gave me this plaque, but I want you to do all of the men in my life that was instrumental and pay tribute to them. So what better way to have someone like Smokey Robinson? I met with him for almost 8 months where he found the photographs. He had me to read his book, and there you saw the whole for bringing that into fruition. Well, and then you have a chance to meet what other way you can meet people like Michael Jordan and Cicely Tyson and Oak. These people are looking for something to tell their story in a very unique way. And if you do it well enough and consistent enough, people will always come to you. So that was a very great question you asked in terms of how you prioritize. I think it happens in the universe brings it to you at the moment that you're prepared to execute it at excellence.
That's awesome, because I'm thinking of their journeys and their evolution. And I think it's, you know, phenomenal that he said, I want to honor the men. And then you think about Oprah Winfrey, and clearly she's had a gazillion, you know, pivotal moments. So even as the person who's offering the gift, for them to say these are the things that stood out to her experience and her journey, I'm sure she appreciated that. So that's awesome. Just thanks for your work.
Thank you so much again, because what I think the beautiful thing, again, and just bringing closure, is that go the extra mile to give a gift on that level. They'll just say, well, it's the thought that counts. And believe it or not, when you go the extra mile, like I did with Wayne Huizenga and all these other particular people across the country, they turn around and give millions of dollars because it's a unique tool that says that like-minded people will always be able to come together in a way to show appreciation. But what's most important is when you went the extra mile to make sure that you just stood out. And like the brain says, you just stand out and make things happen, and people will find you most memorable all the way across the board.
That is awesome. Awesome, awesome. CJ, I'm here raising my hand. I want to ask a question.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Oh my gosh. So there are two pieces that I really want to know what influenced the artwork. And one would be the Living Dreams Portrait Series, the Malcolm X stamp tribute.
That's my heavy duty one.
Yes. What thought process went behind that?
Well, you know, that came from a manager on Hot 105. He said, Lattimore, they're doing a contest that want to showcase the Malcolm X stamp for the United States Post Office. And I said, well, you know, is it too late? They said, well, I don't know, you're running short. So then my computer technology skills came into play where I was able to render something very quickly before making it traditionally. And that's one of the unique things that I bring to the table is I can render something. So what happened was I said, let me read the story of Malcolm X from the perspective of when he came back from Mecca. And that being said, his whole ideas and concept were much different when he came back from the Holy Land and then for where I wanted to showcase the diversity, because he believed in the multiculturalism and diversity much more so after coming back from Mecca. So that piece is a very kind of a play on let that imagery of him be reminded for years to come to be able to show his trip from Mecca and how he believed in multiculturalism, and that was just a symbol of how I portrayed that in an art piece.
Awesome, awesome. And could you elaborate on the workshop for the elementary students and the effect that that had on those students?
Well, that and taking it and future pacing now, that workshop turned into where the school board turned around and had me to create recently, Frederick Douglass and Bunch Park. Those are two new schools they just built. And going back to that whole thing with workshops and having kids to be a part of that, each one reach one, each one teach one. And to have those young men stand out there and watch me talk about how I created that piece, and also they could not believe here's an African-American man that has about 16 folks out there putting up this mural. That was amazing to them. They were like, oh, my God, this guy got 16 people putting up this mural, because it was like a collaboration of having Dow Tao and having the Tao installers all at that day working. So, again, when you go back to Frederick Douglass, all of these schools have history with Frederick Douglass, of course, and then all of the schools with Ralph Bunch. So I took the historical aspect of images of these children interacting with each other in the painting, and then when they go into the hallway in the multimedia room, they can see images that look like them. You know, it's one of those things that when you have images that reflect the person that's looking at it, it becomes more real to them. It's not like some little poster. It's like seeing a little girl with braids in her hair. So that, to me, is the meaning of having the legacy that we talked about, because generations and generations will go to that school, but they will always remind themselves to say, that little girl with the braid looked like me. And also, to me, when you can say each one reach one, each one teach one, you have a much more longer lasting effect of making it, the brain and the subconscious thinking to be on point.
Awesome, awesome, CJ. Wow. This has been an awesome show. It's like almost 8:45. Oh, my gosh. We could talk all day about the awesome accomplishments and the notable achievements that you have, which says that we need to have you back on our show sometime.
Well, I'll be more than happy to give a different perspective of how I'm able now to remove pains out of corporation. That could be the next show, because so many corporations have this marketing thing, they would say, like, for example, Wayne Huizenga, the School of Business. They said, Mr. Lattimore, we want Mr. Huizenga to give us at least $6 million. How can we do that? I said, give him something that nobody else will give him. And that way, going back to, again, the mind and how the subconscious mind work and all of the things about desire and all of the other features and principles, people will always give you more with the idea of you giving them something special. And so with that being said, they commissioned me to do the life of Mr. Wayne Huizenga and his family. And when I put Marty, his wife, on there, I think he even cried at the unveiling when he was alive. So, again, when you go the extra mile and you have a corporation or a university as such, they're looking for ways that they can find a way to promote a way of getting capital campaign. And I use artwork in that scenario when they were actually giving, like, China gold bowls and so forth. I said, no. Let's raise the ante. Let's raise the whole concept of making sure that when people walk into Nova, they can be able to see a unique story of this man. And again, he turned around and I think it was $6 million he gave. So you see, again, that's our next show. So I just gave you a little sneak preview.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. And you know, while you were thinking, for some reason, I just envision a piece of artwork that has all of your affirmations. I don't know how that would look. It just popped into my mind.
That's a beautiful, beautiful statement, because I'm in the process of doing something like that, to have artwork with affirmation on it. Oh my God, you are you in my mind? Is this a radio vibration thing going on here today?
No, this
is that broadcasting and receiving.
Right. This is the International Mastermind Association. This is how it works.
You hit it right on the head. You know, having the affirmation with imagery is extremely powerful. And that being said, you know what? People remember 98% of what they see rather than what they hear.
Yes.
98%. So take that in the solution and come out with a unique way of in my mind, is studying NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. What it does in studying neuro-linguistic programming is teaching the language of the mind and being able to improve what you already know. And when you can take the language of the brain and how it works and understand the whole vibration of using imagery to promote that in a much more visual way, you have a wonderful blockbuster going on there.
Yes, yes. That will be a great addition to my artwork. Hint, hint, signatures.
You said, look, man, I'm just giving you the idea, so that'd be a great, I love how you future paste that. That's called real good future pasting.
All right. Great Christmas gifts. Great Christmas gifts. Oh, my God. This has been so awesome, so awesome. We are coming to the end of our awesome call or interview with CJ Lattimore. But before closing, are there any closing comments before we go to our co-host? Do you have any closing comments, Mr. CJ?
Well, one of the closing comments I would like to say is take the opportunity to really understand that imagery with the right words, like you were just saying earlier, is a very powerful vehicle. And that being said, make it permanent. So I close by saying to you that though we are complete within ourselves, it's our relationship to each other that creates greatness. So that what we've experienced today with the word Ubuntu, I am because of you, I am because of Anne, I am because of you, I'm because of all of the people that call in and ask questions, I am because of all of these people. So again, it's being able to speak what you want and act as if it's so. And if we continue to do that and make it very visual, we'll have a much better world.
So, you know, that needs to be on a shirt.
You are the marketing guru. You're the marketing guru here in this talk show.
Hey, you ignited the thought process. Imagination.
It's the workshop of the mind. Thank you. Thank you so much for allowing me to be on the show, and I really appreciate Anne and all of the people that I am because of you, and I'm because of just people sending a great vibration that really makes a difference in all our lives. So thank you so much again.
I wanted to just, again, piggyback off that, because Ms. Anne, she is the master builder. And just being in the mastermind groups and listening to stories as yours, how she has influenced your life. And that just enforces the power of Think and Grow Rich. No matter what your niche, your industry, your hobby, whatever, I mean, it applies all across the board. And, again, I have to – a majority of my success, I attribute it to the relationship that I have with Ms. Anne, the pushing and the pulling and the reading and all of that. So, again, I'd like to especially thank you. Thank you, Ms. Anne McNeil. And do you have any closing comments?
Listen, think and grow rich, and God to God be the glory. That's my closing comment.
That's my closing comment. Awesome. And then we
and thank you so much again for the invite. You know, this was a very spontaneous show from speaking with Anne in a couple of days. I was a little nervous at first in terms of, you know, not really knowing exactly what the full. But when you start talking about Think and Grow Rich and having Anne on board, Anne is one of those professional prompters.
You usually get voluntold. Like today when we earlier, I found out that I was going to be hosting the show. I'm like, oh, my word, you guys know this is not what I do.
No, only Anne can do that because right now it's what time? It's about 6 o'clock in the morning here in California. So believe me, I stayed up the whole night to make sure I kind of go over my notes and because I didn't want to just disappoint Miss Anne.
Yes. And also we have our phenomenal co-host Miss Thomasina. I would like to thank her because she knew that I was
so well.
Nervous. She knew I was nervous. So, Ms. Thomasina, do you have any closing comments?
I believe that our guest, Mr. C.J. Latimer, and our master builder, Ms. Ann McNeil, have said it all. I just have gratitude to them both.
Thank you. I received that. I received that in the name of Jesus. That's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Awesome. So in closing, I would like to remind all of our listeners that on January the 5th in Boca Raton, we have our Think and Grow Rich annual accountability meeting. And also we are here every Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, with the International Mastermind Association as we take our journey through the phenomenal book, Think and Grow Rich. So in closing, I would like to say that no individual may have great power without availing himself of the mastermind. Everyone be legendary, and we'll talk next week.
Thank you so much. God bless. Take good care.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich. The original version, restored and revised, by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.